What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket doing? Is it busted yet? Mine's actually not too bad. I mean, of course, it's got those red stains all across it, but my Final Four and my champions are still intact for right now. But first, before we get into the March Madness, we unfortunately got to start the show with some terrible news. I hate starting the show out like this, but I got to because one of my favorite boxer of all time, George Foreman, died over the weekend. That was just such a damper thing to just put over the weekend because, man, George Foreman, he was one of the greatest to ever do it. If you did not get to see George Foreman, go look up the highlights from back in the day to when he was in the 90s, like his first time around and then his second time around. And he was just fists of steel. He was just amazing to watch. Part of one of the greatest boxing matches of all time, the Rumble in the Jungle. Unfortunately, he lost that one. It was versus Muhammad Ali. But real talk, that is the greatest fight for me I have ever watched in my entire life. No, obviously, I didn't watch it in real time. But I did. I've seen it before in repeats, and every time I see it, and I just see how Foreman comes out, and I'm like, how the hell does he lose this? And then you just see what Ali does, and you're like, whoa, that is why Ali is the GOAT. But our George Foreman, he was also a great in his own right, and just one of the greatest to ever do it. And just sucks that unfortunately he has passed away over the weekend, but you know, he had a great career and even better life after boxing as well, because you know, sometimes that doesn't work out for you. Sometimes you're an athlete, a great athlete, and you go on to just squander your winnings or just not really take advantage of any of the stuff that you're given while along the way. I mean, you get endorsement deals and stuff, and he was able to be a part of the George Foreman Grill, which turned out to be a $300 million opportunity for him. That's what he ended up earning from that whole venture, from a freaking grill. So that just goes to show you, it's just crazy what happens in this world. But so he did. It seems like he led a pretty good life overall, and it just sucked to start the day off like that because, like I said, he was my favorite boxer. So I'm like, dude, that hit me hard. But I will say that means expect a list over on Friday's show of probably his greatest fights. I'll probably rank them 1 to 5, something like that. But there's definitely going to be a George Foreman list on Friday's show. Now let's get into the good sports stuff. Back to the bracket talk. And, you know, there wasn't too many crazy upsets. You know, pretty much all of the usual suspects won. St. John's, a lot of people kind of had they were looking at them as maybe a potential, Final Four type team. And I see why, because, you know, Rick Pitino, he's been doing great things for this team. But, I mean, come on, it's not shocking, really, to me that they lost. But they did lose to Arkansas, that's Calipari. This is the first, you know, he's with Arkansas. And so this is his first go around with Arkansas. And look, here he is moving along as usual in March Madness. But that's what I mean. It's like you got two legendary coaches going at it. One of them was going to lose. And I'm not shocked that Arkansas moved on. But hey, St. John's busted a bunch of brackets. You know, and I'm looking at other ones here, but for the most part, like all the usual suspects won. For me personally, I kind of went out on a limb with Arizona in my Final Four, and it actually turned out it worked for me. I was hanging on to last night's game versus Oregon, and it was a back and forth, really close game, but Arizona was able to hang on to it. Yeah, my Final Four is intact. I've got Auburn, Florida, Arizona, and Houston as my Final Four, and my champion bracket as Auburn versus Houston, with Houston winning it all. And so far, so good, but that's only the first week of March Madness. We'll see what happens after this weekend when it usually gets really, when your bracket really tends to implode, especially if you've kind of got it nice like me, where all your Final Fours are in. We'll probably be talking on Friday's show where they're all, half of it's out. We'll see, though. Moving on to the Top 10 NBA Power Rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of shakeup because we are getting closer and closer to the playoffs. We do have a different number one. Well, not really different, but we do have, it has changed. They've changed spots this week. and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are number one this week on the top 10 NBA power rankings. Overall record of 59-12. They are on a six-game winning streak. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they just keep on winning. This week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Los Angeles Clippers, and they just keep getting better. They are showing they could do it without SGA. They are showing they could do it with SGA, and it's just really, we're looking straight at the playoffs with Oklahoma City. But really, the only reason why they went up above Cleveland this week, who dropped only down to number two on the top 10 NBA power rankings, is because Cleveland is, you know, they're on a four-game losing streak. And they did bounce back in a game against Utah. But, I mean, that just puts you down below Oklahoma City when we're playing these little onesie-twosie games between each other. So their little four-game losing streak here has affected them in the power rankings. But overall, they are locked, ready, and loaded for the playoffs. Overall record of 57-14, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Clippers, they lost to the Kings, and they lost to the Phoenix Suns, but beat the Utah Jazz. But like I said, I mean, I still think they're just ready for the playoffs. It's just you don't like that kind of a losing streak after the 16-game winning streak. You definitely don't like a losing streak headed into the playoffs, but still, I think Cleveland's good. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings remains the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 52-19. They are on a five-game winning streak, and they are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, the Utah Jazz, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And basically, I kind of feel the same about the Celtics that I do with these last two teams that I just discussed. And that is, they're just ready for a playoff run, and we'll see what happens in the postseason. It doesn't matter what they do in the regular season at this point. They're still pretty damn good. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 45-27. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Golden State Warriors, lost to the Lakers, lost to the Portland Trail Blazers, and beat the Houston Rockets. Now, unfortunately, Nikola Jokic, he's been battling through an injury, nothing major, but it is interesting to see what's going on here. And actually, you know, in last night's game against Houston, they, Jamal Murray especially, but all the role players are actually starting to step it up. So I actually think this is a good thing, this Jokic injury, just because now it's going to force the rest of the guys to kind of take the lead when they have to. And then when he comes back, everything should be good. But that's just always been, that's been my problem with the Nuggets this season, is that it's been Jokic and that's it. And nobody's really stepped it up. But now it kind of feels like the injury problems, not so bad. A lot of guys have come back from the injury problems and have really started to fit in, but Jamal Murray's really starting to get going. Aaron Gordon's really starting to get going. And so it's starting to look not too bad without Jokic, but they're definitely going to need him for any type of playoff run. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 43-27. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the San Antonio Spurs, the Denver Nuggets, lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, and got their asses beat by the Chicago Bulls. And that was when LeBron came back too. So that was not a good ass game at all. But the good news is LeBron is back. Looked well rested. Looked like he's ready to make a playoff run as well. Luka has been on fire. So really no issues with him at all. Reeves has looked great. It's just, you know, they get their asses beat in some of these situations. And against the Chicago Bulls, who are not a good team. They're not a team that should be beating their asses, but that's just what happens. Also, too, it was just kind of weird, too, because Luka went off in the first quarter. LeBron was having a great first half, and then, boom, they just completely fell apart in the second half. But still a solid team, and still looking like they're going to be pretty good once the playoffs roll around. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 43-28. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Now, they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now. They lost to the Sacramento Kings. They lost to the Portland Trail Blazers and lost to the Los Angeles Clippers. And this has kind of been the deal with the Grizzlies, is they get going, but then they go on these little losing streaks. And that's just not what you need when you're trying to make a playoff run, especially with how convoluted right now the rankings are, because it's Oklahoma City's number one, and then everybody else, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's just shuffling on a daily basis. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here down the stretch, because every win is going to matter. And if you're one of these teams that goes on one of these little losing streaks, it's going to cost you in the seeding, and you really don't want to face off against a team like the Golden State Warriors to start in the first round, because I feel like they're a team that's going to really fuck up somebody's day in the first round, and because they're a good team, they're a championship pedigree team, and you're going to need to avoid the Warriors. I kind of feel like in the first round, if you want to keep it moving, because they're definitely going to give it your all. I mean, every team you face off against is going to give it your all, but usually the first round is kind of for some teams, you coast through it. The Golden State Warriors are not going to let you coast through it. So I kind of feel like these teams go on losing streaks in the Western Conference, it's not going to benefit them at all come seeding. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 41-31. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Indiana Pacers and lost to the New Orleans Pelicans and then beat the New Orleans Pelicans. They are coming off of a nice winning streak, and they're actually playing really well, solid defensively. Gobert has actually, he started off not so great for the most part this season. He's actually had a very quiet year, especially for a guy who has multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards. He just has not been himself. But over the last month, I'd say he kind of is starting to look like his old self, especially on the defensive side of things. In the paint, he's really starting to make a difference, and that's really what they needed. Anthony Edwards has had no issues all season, and he seems to be ready to go off at any moment, and he's just playing phenomenal basketball right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that we haven't talked about in a few weeks, but they have now risen to the ranks. I don't really believe in them, though. I actually think they're going to crash and burn once the playoffs roll around, but it's the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 46-26, and they are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, and lost to the Denver Nuggets. And they seem to be back on track, but at the same time, I just don't know if I trust this team. Their second half has been atrocious. They haven't really shown who they are up until the last about week and a half, 2 weeks. So they seem to be back in order. And I mean, hey, they are the number 2 overall seed, at least for now. But like I said, in the Western Conference, the number 2 seed on down, it's going to be a shuffle each and every week. But Houston has been a problem for a lot of teams this year. But I just personally kind of feel like they are going to be one and done whoever they face in the first round. I just don't really believe in this team, which is why I've still been overlooking them, even though they've been starting to get going again. But that's why I still have Memphis and Minnesota above them, because I actually believe in them more than I believe in Houston, especially come playoff time and just with what's gone on in the second half. You can't just like turn it on and then all of a sudden be great. But who knows? We'll see what happens. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Golden State Warriors, overall record of 41-30. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Denver Nuggets, beat the Milwaukee Bucks, beat the Toronto Raptors, and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Jimmy Butler has been phenomenal since he has been traded to the Warriors, and it's playoff time right around the corner, and that is his time of year. Steph Curry, his injury is not going to be a big deal. As a matter of fact, I think he's supposed to play in their next game. And even if it's not the next game, it's not a debilitating injury at all, so he should be ready for a playoff run. But it's just crazy to see how well Jimmy Butler is fitting right in with this team. And like I said, I feel like they're going to be a problem for whoever they face in the first round. Even if they don't beat you in the first round, they are going to work you. And that might not work out well for you moving on into the second round, because you might be too tired to win that series because Golden State worked your ass. So I just kind of feel like whoever gets Golden State in the first round does not want Golden State in the first round, because they are champions and they play great defensively, they play great offensively, and they have dudes who can make shit happen. And you got Jimmy Butler here who's fitting right in. He and Steph might make a great duo come playoff time. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 44-26. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Miami Heat, lost to the San Antonio Spurs, lost to the Charlotte Hornets, and beat the Washington Wizards. You could just tell this team has not been the same since Jalen Brunson got injured. Lucky for them, they are in the Eastern Conference. They were able to get a lot of wins when Brunson was playing, but now they are not looking like a good team. They're barely getting by certain teams. And then, they do have these spurts where you're like, oh, wow, look, it's the Knicks. But, I mean, it just sucks that Jalen Brunson's injury just completely took the wind out of their sails, and it's probably never coming back for them, at least for this season. I mean, even it's looking like Brunson should be back for the playoffs, but it's not a guarantee. You're definitely going to want him back for the playoffs. But even so, I just kind of feel like this team's not playing well, and I don't really see him maybe just like, you know, coming back from injury and magically saving the season, especially when you've got Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference. All right, so moving on to the final portion of my 2025 MLB season predictions, because Thursday is opening day, y'all. It is officially baseball season. Yes, it started last week with those with the Dodgers series versus the Cubs over in Tokyo, but not really. It starts on Thursday. So now I'm going to do a breakdown of who the teams I believe are going to make the playoffs, the wild card round, the ALDS, NLDS, championship series, World Series, and ultimately who I believe is going to win it all. So beginning with the AL and who I think is going to win their divisions, I've got the number one overall seed as the Detroit Tigers, simply because they are in a terrible division. So I think they are going to get a lot of wins compared to the rest of these guys, because I think, you know, especially like the Yankees, they're in the American League East. They're in a division where they're just going to be getting beat up by a bunch of teams like Boston and Baltimore and Tampa. And those are teams, even if they're teams that aren't going to be making the playoffs, I just kind of feel like the American League East is going to have a lot of teams competing for that division. Whereas I feel like the AL Central for the Tigers is pretty much going to be the Tigers and everybody else. And I think they're going to just roll through this division. So I think that's what's going to give them the number one overall seed. It's just this huge record that they get from the shitty teams that they face off against. But I do think Detroit's going to be a good team. Don't get me wrong. I got them as the number one overall seed simply because of their terrible division, but I do think they're going to be a really good team. I like their pitching. I like their lineup. They've got a lot of young guys. They got a few quality veterans who are going to help them along the way. I really like what I'm seeing from the Detroit Tigers this year. Then the number two overall seed in the American League, I have the New York Yankees winning the American League East. Then the number three overall seed, I have the Texas Rangers winning the American League West. Then my wild card teams, I have the number four seed is the Boston Red Sox. Number five seed is the Baltimore Orioles. And the number six seed is the Kansas City Royals. Then the National League, my number one overall seed winning the National League West, I have the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's really just nothing you could say about them other than they are just stacked from top to bottom. Even if they suffer injuries, their backups are great. They haven't shown really any weakness, and the weakness that they had last year didn't cost them anything. They won the World Series, and they improved that weakness, which was starting pitcher, and now they have like three or four aces who are going to be starting pitchers on the team. So good luck to the rest of the National League. But with that being said, I don't think they're going to easily run through this. I just think they're a damn good team, and you can't overlook it. Then finishing in second place in the National League, I have the Philadelphia Phillies winning the National League Central. Then finishing in third place in the National League, I have the Chicago Cubs winning the National League Central. Then my wild card teams, the number four seed, I have the Atlanta Braves. Number five seed, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. And number six, I have the New York Mets. You know, I like what the Mets have done this season. But I still think they have some work to do, especially with their pitching. I think their starting pitching has a ton of questions. So I think offensively, there's not going to be a lot of issues. Defensively, even, I think they're going to be solid on the defensive side of the ball. It's just they're probably going to get scored on a lot with their starting pitchers, and I really don't even know too much about their bullpen either. I kind of think they're going to have a lot of questions, and they're going to be hanging on a lot, but they might just snag one of those last wild card spots. So my AL wild card matchups are the Kansas City Royals versus the Texas Rangers. I have the Kansas City Royals moving on in that matchup. And then the Baltimore Orioles versus the Boston Red Sox, and I have the Baltimore Orioles moving on in that matchup. In the National League wild card matchups, I have the New York Mets versus the Chicago Cubs. I have the Mets moving on in that matchup. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Atlanta Braves. I have the Braves moving on in that matchup. So my ALDS matchups are the Kansas City Royals versus the Detroit Tigers. I have the Tigers moving on in that one. And the Baltimore Orioles versus the New York Yankees, I have the Yankees moving on in that one. My NLDS matchups are the New York Mets versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. I have the Dodgers moving on in that one. And then the Atlanta Braves versus the Philadelphia Phillies, I have the Phillies moving on. Then my ALCS matchup is the New York Yankees versus the Detroit Tigers. And I have the Yankees winning. Like I said, I think it sucks that the Yankees suffered all their injuries to some key guys to start the season. But also at the end of the day, they still have a lot of guys who are going to contribute on this roster. And I just think they're not going to really run into many issues. And I still think they are a World Series competitor right out the gate. I don't think they're going to have any issues. I mean, they still have Aaron Judge. I mean, come on. And they really didn't suffer major issues with their batting lineup. I mean, yeah, Soto's a huge loss, but you gained Bellinger, you gained Goldschmidt, and you still have, I mean, you got Jazz Chisholm, who was playing great last year up until the point he got injured. After he got injured, he really was not the same. So this year he's coming in healthy. You still don't know really what he can do. So I actually think the Yankees are going to be fine. I actually liked the moves they made as well at the starting pitching position as well. So I think they're going to be fine. The Detroit Tigers, I think they're just going to fall short just because I don't think they are there just yet. But I do think they're going to have a great year. And then my NLCS matchup, I have the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, like I said, just because the Dodgers have the best roster in the league doesn't mean they're going to automatically win the World Series. Yes, they're going to be a great team. Yes, they're going to be a difficult team for teams to beat, but that's the whole point of even playing sports just in general. There's always good teams, but the Philadelphia Phillies are a good-ass team too. As a matter of fact, there are probably three teams that I feel confident in that could actually beat the Dodgers in a seven-game series because they match up very well when it comes to, for example, the Phillies. They've got depth at the starting pitcher position as well. They also have three guys who are complete aces to start right off the bat. So you got them there. Their bullpen is fantastic as well. And they have a lot of solid guys who can kill it in the batting order. You got Schwarber, you got Harper, you got Trey Turner. Then, of course, defensively, they're fantastic as well. So I think the Philadelphia Phillies are one of those teams that could go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers roster-wise, and I actually just think it's the Philadelphia Phillies' time. So I think the Philadelphia Phillies are going to beat the Dodgers in the NLCS, and we will not see the Dodgers back in the World Series. So my World Series matchup is the New York Yankees versus the Philadelphia Phillies. And I have the Philadelphia Phillies winning it all. It's just, they've been that team that have been hovering the last 4-5 years. It just kind of feels like they made the World Series, lost. And then, you know, they made it to the NLCS, lost. They made it to the NLDS, lost. And it's just, they're still a damn good team, but it's just like they're there hovering and then they just fall short for whatever reason. And I think this is going to be the year where they don't fall short. I actually think they're going to win it all. Like I said, with the Yankees, I don't think they're going to have a lot of problems, but I think the Philadelphia Phillies just overall, they match up well against anybody. They've got a really fantastic roster, even beyond the starters. They've got a great bench and they've got a lot of depth, and I just think it's the Philadelphia Phillies' time to win the World Series. So that's who I have winning it all this year. I have the Philadelphia Phillies beating the New York Yankees in the World Series. So I did not take the Dodgers. I mean, that's an easy pick to go with, obviously. They definitely are going to be in contention. But, you know, you got to take into account injuries happen all the time. So who knows what's going to happen. But also not even just injuries. It's just you never know who's going to show up on what night, who's going to have the better pitching, you know, who's going to have the better pitching night, who's going to have the better hitting night, who's going to choke on what night. You just never know what's going to happen in sports. So that's why I did not pick the Dodgers. I would not be shocked if they repeat. But, you know, they've got a stacked roster. But like I said, so do the Phillies. So do the Yankees. Hell, so do the Braves. A lot of people not remembering that the Braves, they're only a couple years removed from their last World Series too. And really, their last couple of seasons have been fucked up due to injury. But they've got a stacked-ass roster too. And if they play well when they get some of these dudes back from injury, and by the way, Spencer Strider, he looks like he's going to be ready right off the bat as well this season. I thought he wasn't coming back till May. It looks like he's actually going to be ready for opening day. And he looked fantastic during spring training games. So look at the Braves and don't overlook them because I think they match up well against the Dodgers too, just looking at them as a complete roster. So, you know, it's easy to look at the Dodgers as the favorite, and absolutely they're going to be in contention all year, but I'm going with the Philadelphia Phillies to win it all this year. So, like I said, opening day is on Thursday, and finally it is baseball every single day, which is exciting to me because I love baseball. And I always love the beginning of the season because you just never, it's always nice to see how things shape out as we move along. So enjoy opening day. Go San Francisco Giants. Excited to see what they've got on the horizon this year. Not expecting any miracles, obviously. You did not hear I put them in any playoff contention, but I would not be surprised if they were able to maybe potentially grab one of those last wild card spots, but I definitely don't see them anywhere near the Dodgers level this year. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.